Calvary's just, at this point, there's really nobody on her level. I mean, it's basically, it's her championship to lose, essentially. Mm-hmm. Her two primary contenders are probably going to be from Belgium, Lorena Hendricks and Nina Pinzeroni. And I think they're probably the two who have a chance to challenge her. But if Kaori skates clean, I think she's going to win convincingly.
Hello, everybody. We are back and we still have a program. You may not have seen us or heard from us in a while, but this is Japan Forward's Sports Talk Podcast. And this is our first episode of 2024. We haven't forgotten about you or about sports or talking about sports, but today we have a special guest, Jack Gallagher, our resident expert on figure skating. And we're here to discuss the recent World Junior Championships and the upcoming World Figure Skating Championships. The first one was in Taipei and upcoming in Montreal, Canada. So Jack has plenty to do, plenty to write about, plenty to talk about, and plenty to watch. How you doing today, Jack?
Ed, I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm glad it's sunny today.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
You know, we haven't had a program like this in a while. I know we did this last year looking ahead to the World Championships. And if my memory is correct, we also looked back on the juniors, or we might have done a preview for both ahead of time. I don't quite remember our exact angle, but we had a heck of a lot of the same names to talk about in both the junior ranks and the senior ranks. And let's quickly jump right into it. At the World Junior Championships in early March in Taipei, Japan's Ryo Nakata took second. Shunsuke Nakamura took fourth in the men's. And on the women's side, Mao Shimada was first, Reina Uezono third, and Ikura Kushida fifth. So five skaters in the top five and combined men's and women's. What does that say about the next level, the next generation of skaters who will be competing on the senior level?
Well, Ed, it indicates just the depth of the Japanese skating field right now. I mean, for the second straight year, Japan took at least half of the singles medals at the World Junior Championships, which is significant. Last year in Calgary, Japan took four of the six medals. This year, three, but also a fourth place and a fifth place finish, as you point out. So, you know, it's very encouraging about the development of the younger skaters and what we're going to see in a couple of years.
You know, Nakamura just missed out on a medal there, being in fourth place. And I believe now he's 18 now, so he's at the cusp of having to then move to the senior ranks full time. Was this performance something that you expected from him? And do you think he'll be a force to be reckoned with the next couple of years at the next level?
Shunsuke, he's a good skater. His problem is consistency and putting together two good programs at the same competition. Mm-hmm. And so, like, at the opening Junior Grand Prix in Osaka, which I attended, you know, he had a bad short program. He came back in the free skate and did better. But he's kind of up and down. And when he's good, he's good. When he's not good, he's not good. And so, you know, like, Ryo Nakata is much much more stable and consistent.
Mm-hmm. Quickly tell me and tell our listeners, what are the top skills that Ryo Nakata shows on the ice? And particularly what he showed in the final.
Well, I mean, he's got, you know, he's an excellent jumper. And his skating skills are getting better with mm-hmm. each passing season. And, you know, he's got some real heart because he came from behind to win the Grand Prix final back in December. You know, he came from like fifth place to win. And so, you know, he's got some real fortitude, I think, which is important in that skating. So I think, you know, Ryo is going to continue to get better as he works on his interpretation and musicality. But But right now, he has the raw skills to compete at the top of the junior level. So I think in a few years, when he gets to the seniors, you know, he looks very promising for him.
Is he still 15 or is he 16 already?
Rio, I believe, is still 15. His birthday, I can't remember when his birthday is, but I believe he's still 15.
So it looks like he's got at least two more years then to be in the juniors.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. He turned 15 in September, so he'll be 16 before the next season starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he'll be around in the juniors for a while longer, which I think is probably a good thing because Japan's men's team at the senior level now is very strong. So.
Right. But this is an important stepping stone year for Nakata.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree. He's that performance in at the Junior Grand Prix final and at the World Junior Championships. I mean, he almost won. Right? He lost by like 1 point. So mm-hmm. Any way you slice it, he had a real good season.
Before we talk about Mao Shimada a little bit more in depth, talk about the development and just what you've seen this season from Uezono and Kushida, particularly, how they performed in the spotlight at the championships.
Well, I think Reina Uezono, she's only 13 years old. This was her first international season, right? Before mm-hmm. this season, she never competed in an international event. And the first time around, she gets the bronze medal at the Junior Grand Prix final and the bronze medal at the World Junior Championships. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it's been a smashing success for her season. Yeah. And Kushida, she was, at the start of the season, she kind of struggled, but she came back and actually did better than I think a lot of people thought she would. And, she was in contention through the short program for a medal at the World Juniors. So she has some potential. She just needs to be a bit more stable with her skating.
I think a lot of people start to see the skaters' styles develop when they're juniors, but their styles are more profound when they're in the senior level for a couple of years. Yeah. But what can you tell me and tell our listeners about what are some trademarks of Uezono's style and Kushida's style? What are they? How would you describe how they skate?
Well, I think Uezono, she just has an elegance to her skating that, it's hard to believe she's only 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And she is very precocious right now. And of course, she's very thin, I guess. I don't know if that's a correct word, but she's at a point now where the jumps are not any problem for her at all. Right? I mean, she can just do all the jumps and everything. And I think that, but it's her interpretation and how she's in sync with the music, I think that mm-hmm. really is impressive at that age. A lot of kids have some technical skills at that age, but they don't have the full package. But I mean, she's just like, wow, it's pretty incredible. In Kushida, she doesn't have the technical prowess of Mao or Reina, but she is a polished skater who can give you a good program. Again, it's the question of can she do two programs solidly, stably at the same competition?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a perfect segue to what I want to ask you about Mao Shimada. What was, first of all, your overall impression of her season and her repeating as World Junior Champion? And how does this set her up in the conversation as possibly the next great superstar of skating for the next decade on the women's side?
Well, I mean, again, just an incredible season. For the second straight year, not only was she the World Junior Champion, but she didn't lose a competition. She's never lost a junior competition in the 2 years she's competed. And, that we're talking about almost, 9 or 10 international events. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just, it's amazing that she's had this run of success. And in Taipei, she became only the third woman ever to win the world junior title 2 years in a row. And she'll be a junior again next year, so she could be the first ever to win it 3 times in a row. So, you know, I think the future is looking bright for her. And, you know, she's got some real guts because a couple of times she's had to come from behind, you know, to win, and she's done it. And she's come up with these huge jumps at these key moments. And, you know, it's just impressive, very impressive what she's done the past 2 seasons.
Thank you for those insights. I appreciate it. When you sum up what Shimada has accomplished so far, and when you sort of try to analyze what makes her so good at this stage of her career, is it the jumps at the key moments, or is it more just an overall technical prowess you talked about with Reyna, sort of having that what looks to be that ability?
She's got, Mao has, you know, beautiful skating skill, beautiful line and edge, but she's also got the technical content with the triple axel and the quadruple toe loop, mm-hmm. which, you know, those are gigantic weapons. And mm-hmm. when she can pull those out in the free skate, like even at the World Juniors, she didn't hit the triple axel cleanly, but she hit the quad toe loop, and that's why she won. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, she's just, she's on a different level from the other girls. You know, Korea's Jia Shin, who finished third at the World Juniors for the second time in a row, or third time, third straight year she was second, and beautiful skater, lovely, but doesn't have the technical content, the jump arsenal that Mao does, and that's the difference. That's why she keeps coming in second behind Mao.
How would you, from what you've observed, how would you describe her interaction with coaches and her, you know, some skaters and some athletes in other sports, so they're so good that they don't necessarily feel they need to take advice, or they sort of have, like, you know, I know everything sort of mindset, where they might have to deal with coaches because it's part of the process, but they might not necessarily listen to the advice, or they might not really think the coaches know what they're talking about. How does Mao, how are her relationships with her choreographers and her coaches?
Well, I think Mao is a very respectful person, and she has a good relationship with Mie Hamada, who, mm-hmm. You know, works with her closely on a daily basis. So I don't, you know, at this point, Mao is a junior high school student. She's very respectful, and I think she understands that she can learn from her coach, even though she's the world junior champion. So I've never seen any hint of any problem or unhappiness between her and her coaches. I think, you know, she's a model. She's a model skater in almost every sense of the word.
Mm-hmm. Looking ahead, Jack, to the World Figure Skating Championships for the seniors, are there any big surprises you're expecting from Japan or any of the other countries based on sort of like performance curve and just recent performances in the last couple of weeks or months?
Well, I think the drama is going to come on the men's side, where Shoma Uno is going for a third straight world title, and Ilya Malinin is going to be, you know, trying to win his first world title. And but I think the skater to keep an eye on is really Yuma Kageyama, who had a great run at the four championships on the way to winning. And he seems to be just about all the way back from that ankle injury, which hurt him a couple of years ago. So I think there's a good chance that Kageyama could be the highest Japanese finisher, meaning, you know, if Malinin has any issues, I think Kageyama could win. Shoma's right there. He'll probably be on the podium. It's just a question of where. But I think Kageyama's ascending right now. He seems to be getting stronger with each competition.
Quickly, when you look at Uno's season and his career in general, what would you say needs to be the winning recipe for him? What does he need to do in the short program and the free skate to win this thing for a third time?
Well, the problem, Ed, is that, Molinan's got the quad axle and all these quadruple jumps. So Shoma's got to skate almost perfectly and kind of hope Molinan doesn't. And, Shoma, even at last year's World Championships, was struggling with a ankle injury. But hopefully hopefully he's going to enter this event in full health and have a shot at winning a third straight. The last skater to win three straight world championships was Patrick Chan from Canada in 2011, 2012, 2013. So it's been more than 10 years now since somebody's done three in a row. And I think Shoma has a chance. My prediction is that, Japan will come out of it on the men's side with two medals, and it's just a question of where. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens. But keep your eye on Yuma Kageyama.
Mm-hmm. And based on his health improving and based on his ankle improving, how is that? What specifically has that enabled him to do a bit more on the ice?
Well, he's been able to add to his quad jumps there for a couple of years. He was just doing like the Salco and the tote loop. But now, he's doing other quad jumps and he's attempting them. And so, again, going up against Molin, and it's going to be a real challenge. So you've got to be able to execute all of your jumps because you need those points.
We were talking briefly before the show started about, the uniqueness of Japan having two skaters going for their third title in a row, World Championship, the three-peat, as the famous, NBA kind of expression goes. Why do you feel Kaori Sakamoto looks to be, in your opinion, at this stage, more likely to win a third title than what you talked about with Uno?
Well, Kaori's just at this point, there's really nobody on her level. I mean, it's her championship to lose, essentially. Mm-hmm. Her two primary contenders are probably going to be from Belgium, Luena Hendricks and Nina Pinzarone. And I think they're probably the two who have a chance to challenge her. But if Kaori skates clean, I think she's going to win convincingly. And it's significant, Ed, because it's been 56 years since a woman won three straight world championships. The last person to do it was American Peggy Fleming, 1966, 67, and 68. So 56 years is a long time. So this will be a significant achievement if Kaori is able to pull it off.
Okay, I'm gonna throw you a fastball question here, a difficult one. How different is the skating, visually speaking, for a viewer? How different is the Peggy Fleming era to now, to what you're seeing from Sakamoto, how they skate?
Well, I mean, it's this era is much more powerful. It's much more athletic. When Peggy won her gold medal back in 1968, which was the only U.S. gold medal in any discipline at the Winter Olympics. I mean, it was, it was the beautiful style she skated in and how graceful she was. Now we've got all these triple jumps, and I mean, it's a whole different ballgame, so to speak. So, there are some people who prefer the eras of the past because it wasn't all the falling that we see now. So, it's a tough question to, it's an issue where a lot of the old timers prefer the way it used to be, and the younger people prefer the way it is now. So,
Do you think there's too much emphasis on jumping?
I do.
And tell me why.
Well, I mean, the whole point of figure skating is that it's supposed to be appealing to the eye, right? And if somebody keeps attempting jumps and falling, smashing into the ice, it's kind of a turnoff for people. And so when I had Peggy Fleming on my podcast a couple of years ago, I asked her about this specific issue. And I said, you know, the figure skating is not as popular as it used to be in the U.S. You know, you were an American icon. Well, why do you think this is? Okay. And she said, I think it's all the falling. It's all the falling. And she has a point.
Jack, if you look back at Kaori Sakamoto entering the World Championships last year, and you look at her this year from a performance standpoint and from a mentality standpoint, what is the same or what is different for her?
Well, I think last year, you know, she kind of started out slowly and kind of picked it up as the season went on. This year, she's been a bit more consistent, and I think it's her confidence. You know, she's got the confidence level now. I think she knows that she's the best by a significant margin, and that barring some kind of injury or something, that she's going to go in as the favorite, and she should emerge with the gold medal again.
We'll talk about the women's side a bit more in a couple of moments here, but sure. When you talk about when you analyze the men's field and Uno in there and Kageyama in there, do you see Kao Miura having any shot at making the top 10 or even higher?
Well, he'll be in the top 10 for sure, Ed. He'll probably be in the top 5. And depending on what happens with the other skaters, I mean, you know, he's in there with a chance. And Kao has a lot of ability. Last year's world junior champion. And he's got the technical prowess. He's got the jumps. He's continually working on his interpretation and polishing his skating skills. So I think, you know, he'll be in the top 5, I would say for sure. And after that, we'll see what happens. But, you know, he could challenge for the podium easily. Mm.
Have you seen a significant increase for him in his confidence level and just technical and overall package of skating since he won the world junior title?
Yeah, I mean, Cal's always been a confident kid. He's always been a confident kid. And even after he has like a rough short program a few years ago at the Japan Junior Championships, in Nagoya, he had a poor short program, but then afterwards he said, I'm going to come back and win. And he did. He won the championship that year. So he's a tough kid, and I'm not going to say cocky, but he's confident. And, he's willing to put everything out there when he has to.
So for him, this particular season, He got the silver in Skate Canada, and he won the Grand Prix de Espoo in Finland. What was the trademark or the signature moment you've seen of his season so far? The signature highlight, I should say, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, in Finland, it was good. You know, he did a real good job there. And he struggled in the Grand Prix final, finishing 5th. But at this point, Cal still relies a lot on his jumps to score points and stuff. So if he has any trouble there, then, you know, that can kind of snowball. But again, I think it was just a question of him, stepping up and putting together two good programs, which he's capable of doing at any time. But, he does difficult jumps and he skates all out. He doesn't skate conservatively.
And Jack, we've got discussion about the World Championships coming up next week in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. On the women's side, We know Sakamoto is a two-time defending champion, and Japan has two more entrants for women, Monet Chiba and Hana Yoshida. What should people know about them entering the World Championships?
Well, they're both skaters on the rise. I think Monet Chiba is one to keep an eye on. She won the four continents this season, and she started out a little shaky this year, but she seems to kind of have come into her own and is starting to believe that, you know, she can win at the elite level. So, yeah, I mean, both Monet and Hana have been around on the scene as juniors for quite a while. Hana got the bronze medal at the Grand Prix final this year. And so, but at this point, I would say that Chiba probably has a chance to challenge for the podium in Montreal, just based off of her performance at the four continents. And, you know, in skating, momentum is everything. And when somebody starts ascending, it's you can keep your eye on them.
As for Hana Yoshida, what are your general thoughts on her?
Well, again, Hana's, you know, she made the podium at the Grand Prix final, and she's been a stable skater for several years now as a junior. So she just needs some more experience and some more competition, but she certainly has the especially the expressive skills that are necessary in skating. I mean, she's, again, beautiful line and edge, and she's just, she's a very polished skater at her age.
How old is Hana, Jack?
Hana's 18 now.
Okay. And if you were to fill out a prediction, a piece of paper listing the finishers for the women's side of the World Championships, where would you put Chiba and Yoshida on your list?
Well, at this point, I think Monet will finish in the top five, and maybe Hana will finish in the top seven or eight. That mm-hmm. would be where I would see it at this point. Mm-hmm. I think again, but you know, who knows? I mean, it's
unpredictable, eh?
Exactly.
If they perform above and beyond what you expect, which is more likely, Chiba or Yoshida to be a medalist?
At this point, I would say I would go with Chiba, just because she seems to have some energy behind her, and mm-hmm. You know, I think the judges saw that she won the four continents, and she was impressive in doing so. So, I think if Japan's going to have a second medalist, I would say Chiba probably has the best chance, but not by much over Yoshida. Very close.
Okay. Before we began the program, we were briefly highlighting some of our talking points and just, you know, catching up on the season in general. And you and I were mentioning about in pairs, Rika Miura and Ryuichi Kihara being the defending champions. But this has been a very inactive season for them, with one of them having an injury and just lack of reps in competition. Do you see them having a shot at medaling? And if not, why?
I think they can get a medal in Montreal, but I don't think they can get the gold, just because they don't have enough competitive repetitions this year. They only skated in one event, and that was the four continents, where they finished second behind the Canadians. And I think that it's going to be tough. They were Ura and Kihara were supposed to skate in the Challenge Cup in the Netherlands last month, but canceled, saying they wanted to continue practicing for the World Championships. But again, I mean, that was a competition that they could have gone to, and they probably should have gone to. So I think, you know, to try and win the World Championship, having skated only one competition for the whole season, I mean, that seems like a pretty tall order to me to try and pull off.
Have you seen video footage of them skating in practice in the last couple months?
I have not. I mean, yeah, I have not. So I can't speak to their level of fitness at this point, but they didn't have any problems at the four continents. And I don't know, I kind of got the feeling that the Challenge Cup thing was they didn't want to travel or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't want to fly all the way to the Netherlands and then fly back to Canada. You know, I didn't quite understand why they didn't go. I mean, mm-hmm. how much practice do you need, right? Mm-hmm. So we'll see if that makes a difference in the end. But again, the judges are well aware of the fact they've only skated once the whole season, right? Mm-hmm. So they're gonna be looking at every little detail. And they're gonna realize that these other kids have been working the whole season, and I think that could hurt them in the end.
There'll be plenty to scrutinize.
Indeed. So I mean, hopefully they can make the podium, maybe get the bronze or something. But I think to win the gold is just be very difficult.
My math skills are very basic. I struggle with geometry, and calculus was never something I could even accomplish. And then algebra was also a nightmare for me. But when I look at the Grand Prix schedule this year, I counted 7 events, including the Grand Prix final. So I think I got up to 7 correctly on arithmetic, right?
That's right.
Okay. Of those 7 events, I counted 4 Japanese skaters who medaled that did not qualify for the world championships. On the men's side, Shun Sato and Sota Yamamoto. On the women's side, Rinka Watanabe and Rion Sumiyoshi.
Right.
Separately and collectively, how would you analyze where they are in the grand pecking order of skating at this point in their careers and in this season?
Well, I think Shun, if Shun skated for any other country except maybe the U.S., he'd probably be the top male skater. I mean, he's the 4th best skater in Japan, and he's just outside the top 3, a lot of talent. And so he's right there. Sota, I think, is moving more towards the end of his career, and he can still surprise you and medal at certain events, but I think Shun is, he grew up kind of with Kageyama in that same era, mm-hmm. and I think that he could be a world medalist easily. Like, let's say if Shomo retired after this year and then Shun was on the world team next year, he could be a world medalist. He's got that ability. So, and then on the women's side, Rinka and Rion, again, just, Japan has so many different skaters, and it's just a question of kind of who is trending upwards at the right time. Mm-hmm. And, Rinka trained in Canada, Vancouver for several years, speaks English fluently, and she even won Skate Canada a couple seasons ago, but a little bit inconsistent, yeah? And Rion is kind of the same thing. It's just, you need to come through at the Japan Championships and stuff like that, and if you don't, you can easily lose out on a bid for the world. So again, both good skaters who on a certain day can even win events, but it just comes down to getting it done when you have to.
From your understanding right now, where can people in Japan watch live the World Championships?
Well, I believe it's going to be on Fuji, Fuji TV, and of course in other countries it'll be on the countries that have TV contracts. People have to consult the countries without TV contracts can watch it on YouTube.
Okay, and just a couple last quick points here. If Japan does medal back-to-back threepeat on the men and women's side, where would you place that accomplishment Are there other similar accomplishments, I should say, in other sports that you would say that's similar to in the 21st century, if it does happen?
In other sports?
What is sort of on that parallel of a ranking of achievement?
That's a tough one, Ed. That's a tough one. We're talking about individual sports or team sports? Or
I guess both. Yeah, I'm just curious what you think that would mean.
Well, let's put it this way. In the NFL, in the Super Bowl era, no team has ever won it 3 years in a row, right? So that says something. And basketball, we've seen teams, you know, we've seen the Bulls win it 3 in a row 2 different times, right? So, but in individual sports, it's tough because there's just so much that goes into it. I mean, anything can happen, an injury, an illness, whatever. So, I mean, I think if Japan was able to get victories by both Kaori and Shoman, it would be significant. It would be impressive because Japan, or pardon me, skating is a very cyclical type sport where, you know, things can change in like 6 months. In 6 months, you know, things can be turned upside down. So, I think it would be a significant achievement if they do it. And, you know, there's going to be people who say, well, the Russians weren't in there and stuff like this. But, hey, that's not the fault of Shoma Uno or Kaori Sakamoto. They come and they beat everybody who was there. They're the world champion. You know, that other stuff is not their fault.
I think that's a good closing point, Jack. Let's basically stop talking here for the recording. And I want to thank everybody who tuned in and listened in, watched, however you consume this project. We appreciate it. And we will have more podcasts coming up in the next few weeks. Thank you, everybody. And that's all for today.